What were you saying was the reason that Susan, the former CEO of YouTube, she had some sort of cancer? You think it had something to do with this?
Well, I don't think. I know.
Okay.
She has a very interesting story. Her mother is named Esther. Mm-hmm. Esther is known as the grandmother of Silicon Valley. All the kids were tied to her. That's why I said you need to really understand the metrics that we're talking about. And the reason why this is very interesting is because I'm entangled now to people like Nicole and people like Bobby. Bobby didn't know this, but Nicole does because she was married to Sergey Brin. So when we started talking about this, her and I, obviously when she has a kid with autism, she's a patent attorney for Google. And I tell her, no, I'm not going to help you because you're the person that actually caused the problem. And I have to tell you, I was not a nice guy to her. I mean, brutal to her.
Really?
Oh, yeah. This is like probably a year and a half ago. And she offered me at that time $100 million to build a decentralized research facility with Bukele down in El Salvador. And I told her, I said, bro, hold my beer. I'm not doing this. Why? Because I don't trust you. I know who you were married to. I know things about Google. I know things about what Brin's all about. I know the story, how it's tied to ARPA, DARPA, the internet, how you got the information. And you and your husband are the reason why blue light exists on every screen in this country. And that's what's getting your generation really sick. That's really where the chronic disease epidemics begin, because that makes it way worse. And when I told her a little bit of the story, I said, do you really know where DARPA, the CIA, and everybody got this information and then studied it? And she said, no. I said, well, I'm going to tell you where Echo's autism comes from. It comes from the Jewish mafia, okay? In the 1930s, 1940s, 1950s, the names that you know, Bugsy, which they made a movie about, Mo Dalitz, who's the guy that started Vegas, and the big guy, you're right here in Tampa, so you should know a little bit about Meyer Lansky.
Meyer Lansky, yeah.
Meyer Lansky.
Trafficante.
Correct. Well, Trafficante.
Trafficante wasn't Jewish, but.
No, but Trafficante is really important because of how this ties in to JFK, DARPA.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So you need to realize what happens is at that time, because I know you know probably a lot of the story. Cuban Revolution happens in 59. Cuba comes in. The Chicago mob, who's friends with the guys in the Jewish mob through the Capone crime syndicate in Chicago, that was later taken over by, what's his name? Sam, I'm blanking on his name.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
But anyway, they go boom in Cuba. They lose a lot of money. Who's the guy that's the accountant for this? It turns out that it's actually Meyer Lansky. Mm-hmm. And who's the shooter for all this is Trafficante, and they're based here in Florida. So when that goes down, Mo, with Johnny Rossetti, who's also part of the Hollywood scene, they get together and Mo says, I got an idea. Let's go build a casino in the desert. Everybody thinks he's crazy at first, okay? So they build Vegas, and it's like, it makes more sense to them to go to a place.
What year was this?
This is the 1940s.
Okay.
So this
let's build a casino the same place we're dropping all the nukes.
Well, but believe it or not, that's where his idea came from.
If you're familiar with this podcast, you know I've talked about Verso ad nauseum on previous episodes because I've been using their product daily for almost a little over 3 years now. But there's a totally new unexpected bonus you can get from Verso, which is weight loss.
CellBeing by Verso isn't just about slowing down the aging process. It's packed with research-backed ingredients that also promote fat loss. These ingredients have been proven in both animal and human studies to boost metabolism and improve body composition through a variety of body mechanisms.
One aspect is how these ingredients increase the body's process to break down fat and act as a calorie restriction mimetic, essentially fooling your body into thinking it's consuming fewer calories.
They also help regulate glucose and leptin levels, which suppress hunger and increased feelings of fullness, effectively curbing cravings.
I take CellBeing every morning to feel like a younger version of myself, combating the signs of aging, which is amazing on its own. Experiencing fat loss is just an added bonus and something I'm happy about.
Plus, Verso ensures transparency and quality by publishing third-party testing results for each batch they produce, so you know you're getting exactly what you're paying for.
If you want to feel as good as I do and lose some weight at the same time, head on over to the link below at ver.so and use the coupon code Danny, and you can get 15% off your first order. Again, go to ver.so and use the coupon code D-A-N-N-Y at checkout to save 15% off your first order. It's linked below. Now back to the show.
He was like, nobody will ever think that we can create the biggest racket in the world. And just to, for your audience, because I'm a big history guy, and I think you need to know all these bits and pieces, because I know we're jumping around. But do you know where the term a money laundering comes from?
No.
Comes from Mo Dalitz. Comes from Bugsy. Comes from Meyer Lansky. What they use, the Jewish mob used laundromats to launder money, to skim it, to keep it away from the government.
Oh, wow. So yeah, I think I have heard that before. Yeah.
So that's where this came from. And then Mo and Rossetti and Meyer Lansky, they have the reputation that's very different than the Italian mob. The Italian mob is kind of like guys that are going to shoot you up and it's kind of bloody. These guys are much more reserved, okay? And they're like accountants. They really care more about the money in the business being sustainable over a long time. Well, they become very, very successful in the 1940s. So successful that something else is happening in the world that you probably know about. Albert Einstein worked with General Groves in the Manhattan Project. It's successful, 1945. So in 1948, the Jewish state that was still not made yet offered Albert Einstein to be the first president. And it turns out their military arm, which is known as the Mossad, actually have Lansky and Dalitz. They're their guys in the United States, okay?
Lansky and who?
Lansky and Mo Dalitz.
Really?
They were Mossad agents here in the United States. So what do? They go to Vegas and they realize that there is no regulations. It's the Wild West. They build it from the ground up. Everybody in Chicago and the Italian families are making fun of these Jewish guys doing this because they're not bringing in the bank like these guys are bringing in Cuba. 59 happens, and guess what happens? All the Italian guys get turned off. They're losing millions of dollars, and they're furious. Mm-hmm. So you know they hate Castro. So what do? They have their friends, Mo. Mo has been working for 12, 13 years in the desert. And what does Mo do? He steadily and slowly increases profits. But guess what he does? How does he do it? Does he shoot anybody up or do anything like that? No. The first thing he did is he put one-armed bandits in all the casinos. He blue lit everything. Why? Because he paid attention to how people spent money. He realized when you used artificial light, it seemed like people spent more money. So then what's the second thing he does in like 1952, 53? He starts painting all the windows in the casino black.
So you can't see outside.
Can't see outside, and he doesn't want to go outside. Then that's the last thing he does.
Gets rid of the clocks? Is that what he does?
The clocks were gone already.
Okay.
But the best part is then he brings in girls scantily clad and he starts giving people alcohol while they gamble. And what does he basically do? He creates an army of low dopamine idiots in the desert who they don't have to shoot. They go into their pocket and pay all the money to. So, of course, at this time now, after Groves is out, he gets Truman to change the OSS to the CIA in 47. The CIA knows exactly what Dalitz is doing. And they know that they're avoiding taxes. So they decide, we need to go find out, is there any science behind any of this stuff? So where are we right now? 48, 51, 52. So you may have heard of this program called MK Ultra.
Once or twice.
Okay. So MK Ultra is the merging of two things. The first thing gets merged is this idea from Dalitz that they're going to study it. Then there's another guy who's a 1937 surgeon, SS guy named Kurt Plotkin. Plotkin worked with the Nazis. His idea was mind control through the use of Mexican peyote. So he starts doing his stuff, and the CIA is looking at the effect of light and wireless technology and things like that that these guys are using. And they begin to study it. They hire a guy named Sidney Gottlieb. Mm-hmm. Gottlieb runs the program from 53 through, which we think, 64 before, of course, all these things are destroyed. But there's a lot of interesting things that the government finds out that is transferred to DARPA. When does DARPA first form? 1958. Mm-hmm. So all this information from the CIA and FBI are transferred into DARPA.
Right.
DARPA then takes it the next level. They go and they hire a guy in New Orleans. I told you we'd eventually come back to New Orleans. A guy named Alton Ochsner. He's first an FBI asset as a surgeon. But then he becomes a CIA asset because of this issue here. They go and hire a PhD researcher named Delgado, and he's working in the Tulane neurosurgery department and neurology. They get him out of that really quick, and they send him to Mexico, and they start putting wires mm-hmm. into the bull's head to find out, can they stop and control the bull using electric signals? Why? Because they already have started to learn about Becker's work. So now, this is the idea. Now they're trying to execute. They're trying to use this as a weapon.
Yeah,
got it?
Right.
So what happens in this whole time, the crazy stories that you've heard Bobby and I talk about on the Tetragrammaton podcast, where Gottlieb basically takes the Air Force plane over St. Louis and drops LSD on the whole city in the mid-1950s to see the effect. They found out mescaline didn't work, so the next step after that was to use LSD. That's one of the famous things that we did find out from the Church Commission that they physically did. So this is what I would tell you is Operation Northwoods, probably -2.0, which is when the government thought it was a good idea that they could just do whatever the fuck they wanted mm-hmm. to the United States populace, they wouldn't know it, so they didn't need any informed consent, okay? A lot of people talk about Tuskegee and the airmen and the syphilis. Dude, there's a pattern with the industrial military complex. When they want to do something, they don't even ask for forgiveness. They don't ask for permission right. either. They just do it. So when they do this and Gottlieb fails, what sight lines are really good for DARPA is this work that Delgado's doing is amazing. So they said, okay, you could do it with wired technology. And they were able to turn the bull off as soon as he was going to spear the matador. Mm-hmm. They said, let's try to do this wireless. Why? They had all the patents and everything they stole from Tesla. They also had all Marconi's work. At this same time, remember, Motorola is now one of the guys that's the industrial military company. They know that wireless telephony is actually coming. So they decide to employ it here first. So Delgado finds out that actually it does work. You can do it without wires. You don't have to do brain surgery on the animal to do it. And then they asked the next question.
They didn't have to install anything in the brain?
No, they did not. But this was the key step. This is the step where I think your audience, people find it incredulous when I tell them the next step was, could you do this using light and light alone? And it turns out they found out you could. If you use blue light specifically, it actually destroys the dopamine reward tracts in your brain. Just so you know, Meta and Google today own those patents. Remember who's the Google patent attorney? Nicole Shanahan. So I said, Nicole, do you remember all the work you had to do? And she goes, yeah. She goes, I could never figure out what all this was about. Well, you need to know a little bit about Google's history. Google was formed in 1995 when DARPA gave the search algorithm to these two cats from Stanford. You know about Stanford now, right?
Mm-hmm.
You talked to me about Uberman, why they don't want to talk to me. You started to put two and two together yet.
Yeah.
So the issue is these guys created the internet. They connected all these colleges all over where the academicians were to share this information. So this information is going all around in this area. They basically then figure out and perfect the delivery of blue light technology through screens. Who is the big tech company in the 1950s and 60s that were doing this? Turns out that's IBM. And IBM is working on liquid crystalline displays. And I remember, this is in the 50s and 60s. You as a young man never saw those TVs until the 90s. Mm-hmm. Okay? And then it got a boost from who? Obama, who made the analog to digital transition so that you'd have to use what? LCD screens. And then what else did he do? We're going to ban incandescent bulbs. Why? Because incandescent bulbs not only have fake blue light, but they also have purple and red, which is what you need as the antidote to blue.
They were banned?
Yeah, well, the first ban was from Obama saying, we're going to get rid of these under the guise that they're not energy efficient because they burn too much. You probably remember when you were a little kid, you touched an incandescent bulb, it's hot as shit.
Yeah.
Well, the proxy that they're using to you is, oh, well, they burn too much energy because they have UV light and red light in it, and that makes heat. So therefore, we should get rid of that, do blue. But you have no idea that DARPA and the government already want blue light everywhere so they can control you with it. That's the real answer behind this whole program. So what happens then?
Well, how do they control us by putting blue light in front of, worlds are surrounded by these screens and these telephone, like these phone screens. How do they control us with this light?
I just told you, they control.
By killing us?
No, they control your dopamine reward tracts. In other words, they're dumbing you down. They're making you much more likely to be preconditioned, which brings us to
We are dopamine slaves for the most part now. Most people.
Well, you're the guy that's sitting with Zins right next to you.
I'm asking you if Zins are good. Yeah, I can't go anywhere without my Zins. I'm telling you, it's a problem.
But that's the reason why it's all starting to make sense. I'm trying to bring the picture together for you so you understand it. So the chick you just asked me about, Susan, who started YouTube, was a Google founder. What you may not know about, you ever hear the marshmallow experiment that was done at Stanford?
Mm-mm.
When she was a child, remember, she just died. She's 56, okay? So she's a little bit younger than me. Her mother puts her into this program, which is part of the MKUltra program, to precondition her mind. Every single tech CEO has been in this program, just so you know that. So she goes through it, and she actually performs better than anyone else. In other words, she will follow the rules and be very compliant. Sergey goes through it, and so does Larry Page. So
what is the name of the program?
It's called the Marshmallow Experiment.
The Marshmallow Experiment. Okay.
It was the second generation of the Milligram Experiment, which you can actually look at. And what I'm trying to explain to you, there's MKUltra 1.0 that we all found out about when I was a young man. You weren't even born yet. That's through the Church Commission.
Right.
Two things we found out there. Not only that MKUltra exists, but some of the things we're doing, but we also found out then that the CIA had 400 people in the media that they paid. Dan Rather and Walter Cronkite. Right.
Yeah.
Dan Rather and Cronkite being, you know, the key players there. So when you begin to start to see the timeline and all these stories come together, Wojcicki gets the YouTube gig. What is YouTube? YouTube is a screen where you're developing videos. You know you're addicted to it right now.
That's how I make my living.
That's what addiction is all about. Well, guess what? The other question I want you to ask yourself as a young guy that's supposed to be smart, have you ever asked yourself why it is that every screen comes out blue, that they don't have red? You actually have to put software in to change it?
I got mine set to where like it turns red after like 7 p.m.
Yeah, that doesn't work. Let me look at mine, what it does. That's how it should look.
Whoa. Is that a special app?
Yeah. So you can, we'll talk about it after we finish this.
But okay.
The point that I want to make to you, the question you need to ask yourself, why is it that every tech company has blue lit screens? I'm going to tell you the reason why. It's because that's how DARPA wants it. They want you to be very addicted to the technology so it's sticky. That way you can be programmed further. So,
wow.
Oh, no, it's even more wild than that. You haven't even got to the wow stage. So what happens with this lady, she wounds up being compliant, just like she was with YouTube. You want to know why all these people get censored? She did whatever DARPA, whatever the industrial military complex wanted. That's the reason why people were having their shit removed. If you want to know the reason why Bitcoin content gets removed, is because DARPA is not interested in Bitcoin. Because their energy to fuel their whole process is cheap fiat money. Bitcoin is actually a nuclear weapon for them.
Right.
Because you can't print money to do all the covert shit they're doing. She goes and rolls her sleeves up, takes a jab. She gets, you know, the turbo cancer. She dies literally very quickly, within, I think, 6 or 7 months.
Turbo cancer?
Yeah. That's from the SV40 promoter that's in the jabs. She gets screwed by the other part of the story we haven't got to yet.
So when did she develop this cancer?
She just died earlier this year.
Yeah, but how long has she had the cancer? Like, when did she get diagnosed?
6 months before she died.
She got diagnosed 6 months before
she died.
She
got stage 4 lung cancer, never smoked. Sounds eerily familiar, doesn't it, to Jack Ruby? Remember how he died?
Oh, yeah, that's...
Oh, so why did I lead this way? Because guess what? I just finished telling the story.
Holy fuck, Steve, pull up the actual documented account of Jack Ruby, how he died.
His name isn't Jack Ruby, just so you know.
Right, I know. It's
Jack Rubenstein, yes, and he exactly. also is a Mossad agent, just so you know that.
Let's see what the Google machine says about Mr. Rubenstein. Jack Ruby. Type in Jack Ruby. Oh, you can't find his death.
That's not obituary. Him. He died right around when Garrison was doing the trial.
Jolly West. So after Ruby shot Oswald, Jolly West started visiting him in prison, right?
Yeah. But you know how he got the SV40 though? Wasn't that way. Let me tell you the story so you get it.
Okay.
Because we probably need to jump into the polio story so you understand this part of it.
Search for cancer.
He gets pneumonia while he's in Dallas. He's writing, writing the Warren Commission to tell them to get him out of Dallas because he knows Carlos Marcelo has got a plan for him. Well, he's going to use the bioweapon that they created on Magazine Street in New Orleans with Oshner. I just got finished telling this whole story in detail at Dealey Plaza to Bobby and to Nicole and to their administrative team. And I have to tell you, the guy that was filming and his eyeballs nearly melted.
So like water about to melt.
It's a good story, but it's the truth. And the way in which you'll find out that I know the truth, that's going to really blow your mind. But the story of Ruby is interesting. He is in Dallas. He's talking to the Warren Commission, says, you got to get me out of Dallas and get me to D.C. because I know they're going to do something to me. He already knows what's going to happen, but he doesn't know how it's going to happen. So he develops pneumonia in Dallas. All this is discoverable by you and your guy back there. Mm-hmm. So the doctors come in and they give him penicillin flu shots. Turns out in that flu shot was the SV40. He gets stomach cancer and dies. Like that. Just like your girlfriend from YouTube. And guess what? Why was that bioweapon created? That bioweapon was created by the industrial military complex and Alton Oshner to get rid of Castro. Okay? And guess who was the front for this whole thing? The mob was involved in this. Most people don't know this, but Carlos Marcelo grew up with Lee Harvey Oswald in New Orleans. So he was one of the guys that was working for him, and Oswald was also in the CIA. So if you want to know the part of the story that no one has ever figured out, is why did Oswald was able to go to Russia, come back with carte blanche and never have any problem? Because he needed to be in a communist country so that Castro would allow him to bring this tainted cigar that he was going to smoke, get the SV40 and die. So that should ask the question in your head, Jack, had the industrial military complex, the CIA and the FBI all know that this thing was going to kill him that fast? Well, I already told you what happened to Susan. Boom. I already told you what happened to Rubenstein. Boom. Now let's get to the real story. So 1951 comes along and you know the story about FDR. He's got polio. His lawyer starts the march of dimes. Kids are sending dimes, nickels, and quarters to Jonas Salk. Jonas Salk makes this vaccine. He gives it to the pharmaceutical companies. There's four companies that he gives it to. But the one that you need to remember, because your boy's going to be able to pull it up, mm-hmm. it's called Cutter Pharmaceuticals. Turns out, Cutter, C-U-T-T-E-R. No doctor ever learns about what I'm about to tell you now. Okay? It's been whitewashed from history. So here's the interesting part. Cutter Pharmaceuticals is in charge of growing this. Remember the date. The date is really important for you to get. 1951. When was DNA discovered, my friend? 1953 by Watson and Crick. So we're in the pre-molecular biology age, okay?
Okay.
Cutter tells all the four pharmaceutical companies, tell Salk that his mix is very difficult to grow, this vaccine. So what do? Salk says, I think we need to use a primate that's close to humans. Then we'll have a good culture medium. So what do? They use the African green monkey. Okay. Turns out there's something they didn't know. Here's the good part of the story and getting ready to step into crazy town. They're able to grow the vaccine on the African green monkey. They use kidney cells that they grew it on. Okay. They create Salk's vaccine, and guess who's the first guy to test it? Dr. Ochsner in New Orleans at the Ochsner Medical Foundation. Things that you need to know about Ochsner. He was a surgeon. He was very famous for being an anti-cancer guy. He used to tell medical students way back when that this patient has lung cancer, I want you to come and see it because you'll never see another case in your life. That's how rare cancer was in the 1900s to 1920s. That's this guy's reputation. Where you're catching him right now in this part of his life, he's probably in his 60s. He's the dean of Tulane Medical School. He's also the head of surgery after Rudolf Matas, who's a big famous surgeon in New Orleans that people today would know. Something interesting happens right around this time where he loses and gets thrown out. Do you know what it was? 1951, he brings the vaccine into the amphitheater, the surgical amphitheater, calls the entire medical staff of Ochsner. He brings his grandson and grandchild in there, and he injects both of them with the Cutter vaccine. His grandson died in 7 days of polio. His granddaughter gets polio in her leg. She doesn't die. Okay? Everybody who's ever trained in New Orleans knows about this story. Now, younger doctors now, they don't learn about it. I was probably the last group of people, late 80s and early 90s. Do you know why? Ochsner was already dead, but you know who was alive? His son. And guess where I did 2 years of my neurosurgery residency, my friend? Ochsner Medical Foundation.
Wow.
Oh, it gets better. Hold on. So I'm doing my first year of residency. And you know who's filming JFK in the basement of Charity Hospital? Oliver Stone. So it's going down right then and there. And here I am, a dude from New York in the deep south, seeing all this shitstorm going around me. Do you know who my ER nurse was? Virginia Garrison, Jim Garrison's daughter. This is the DA that put Clay Shaw on trial for the assassination of JFK. And no one ever made the links that I'm about to tell you. So I'm sitting there while this whole thing is going on my first year. And Virginia knows that in 2 months I'm getting ready to go to Ochsner. And she looks at me and she goes, bro, you better be really careful about what you do when you go there. She goes, because this guy's one of the most nefarious people you'll ever meet. And I'm like, well, what are you talking about? And she starts telling me some stories about what her dad really knew. Because the guy that he wanted to put on trial was Alton Ochsner. But they put Clay Shaw on trial. You have to realize something. In this day, putting Alton Ochsner in New Orleans on trial would be like putting Fauci on trial in Washington, D.C. right now. You have no chance of telling the story that I'm about to tell you. So remember, Ochsner's the first ever National Cancer Institute doctor. I told you he's the anti-cancer doctor. So after he does this to his grandchildren, He then turns around and tells the industrial military complex, because that's who is developing this, that, look, we need to slow our roll down. We need to get this right. We need to fix the problem. So they casually turn all the science over to a doctor named Dr. Bernice Eddy at the NIH. Dr. Eddy does all this work from 51 through 53, 54. DNA gets discovered. And guess what Dr. Eddy finds out? All the original polio vaccines that Salk came up with were all tainted with SV40. And no one knew it because DNA hadn't been discovered yet. So she tells everybody in the NIH, she tells everybody in the FDA that this has gone on. And what does the industrial military complex do, my friend? They fucking pass the jab out to 300 million people in the world. And they created the whole epidemic of cancer. And guess what? Did the industrial military complex allow Bernice Eddy to tell this story to anybody? No. So guess what Bernice Eddy did? She got canceled before Becker, 25 years before that. What did she do? She gave a talk in, I think it was 1955, at the New York Academy of Sciences. And at the end of the talk, she drops the little nugget that I just dropped to you. That, oh, by the way, all the polio viruses were contaminated with SV40. And what SV40 stands for those in your audience who don't know, simian virus 40. So that means there was 39 other viruses that are out there. Okay? What do you need to know, my friend, about SV40? This is the only thing. Take a look at me. I want you to look at me and not that. This is the most important thing of this story.
I'm looking.
The SV40 promoter allows things to get across the nuclear membrane to get into where RNA and DNA is and do bad things. Okay? So what does the government do? After Eddie announces this to the freaking scientific world, they defund her lab. They take her out of the NIH. She's lost to history. Here's the best part. You go look today at the FDA and NIH website, you'll notice from 51 through 57, you don't see anybody's name. When I tell you this is better than 2024 YouTube cancellation, you find no evidence of the Cutter incident. You know why most doctors don't know about it? Because of what I just told you. So here I am training, I don't know, this is like maybe 27, 30 years after this event. And why do I find out about it? Not because I learned about it in medical school, because Virginia Garrison told me what went down. And then what did I do? I went to the medical school library and started pulling stories up. Then I went even further. I went to talk to Alton Ochsner's son, who's a cardiothoracic surgeon who happens to do surgery with us. When we used to clip aneurysms, we'd open the head, but we'd have to stop the heart to clip them. That's how long ago I've been a neurosurgeon. We don't do it like that anymore.
Holy shit.
So in one of those cases, it was a basilar tip aneurysm. J.O.'s opening the chest with one of his other doctors named Keith Van Meter. And J.O.'s sitting there. And I just casually tell my neurosurgery mentor at the time, I said, I'm going to ask him about all this. And he goes, bro, I don't know if you really want to go there. But now here comes the part of the story that you're really going to shit the bed on.
So I said, any shit left.
I said, J.O., I said, is it true what happened with your niece and nephew about, you know, the polio vaccine? He goes, and this is the crazy thing. This guy was a real chatty guy. I thought he would shut me down. Bro, he started talking to me for almost an hour and a half, 2 hours. And once he opened up about that, then I went for the nuclear weapon. And I mean this literally and figuratively. I said, J.O., tell me, why is it that we have a nuclear device in the basement of a community hospital? It's called the LINAC. And who uses that? LINACs are used to treat brain tumors. I said, I know you guys have done really well here. I said, but that's $100 million piece of equipment. And I said, we can barely get new instruments to do spine surgery in this hospital.
What? So for people who are uninitiated,
I'm going to go there. Okay. I'm trying to give you the punch in the mouth so you understand where we're going. So this is a device that is an electromagnetic device that delivers radiation from gamma rays all the way to RF radiation. You can just turn it down. No place outside of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission has these devices at this time. So when I was a first-year resident and I walk over to Ochsner and I see a LINAC laying down on its side and it looks like a nuclear weapon, I'm going, where in the fuck did we get the money for this? You know, it's cool. Most doctors say, oh, well, we have cutting edge stuff. You know, we can treat brain tumors and this and that. But that's not where I was going with it. I was like, where'd this come from? So in this talk that I had with J.O., I had already been preconditioned by several of the people from the JFK movie and from Virginia Garrison herself. And when she told me, she goes, there's more to this story that nobody knows that won't be in that movie that they're filming downstairs. So she was really good about going to St. Charles Tavern and talking, especially when we came off a shift. And I got her a little loaded. And she started telling me about this polio virus and monkeys and this, that, and the other thing. And I was like, well, I do know that we do a lot of monkey research at LSU. Because remember, I'm an LSU resident, and we did have a monkey lab. And I was like, wow. And I knew Tulane had a monkey lab. Mm-hmm. So I'm starting to ask a lot of questions now. And what I find out is that Ochsner was that when this went down with his grandchildren and this Bernice Eddy thing, this is a very short period of time, 3-year history. He goes from being an FBI asset to a CIA asset. Then the CIA, they ask him specifically, we want you to fix this SV-40 problem. So what does he do? He goes out and he hires the world expert in viruses and oncology. Her name is Dr. Sarah Stewart. She trained University of Chicago. You know where else is in the University of Chicago, right? That's where the nuclear program begins. That's the Fermi Research Lab.
Oh, okay.
She gets her compatriot, who's a classmate, Dr. Mary Sherman, who's an orthopedic surgeon, who's an expert in bone cancer. He hires both of them. Guess what magically happens? Sarah Stewart is based at the U.S. Public Health Hospital in New Orleans at this time by the military. Mary Sherman is a staff doctor at Ochsner Medical Foundation running the game here. They set up a bioweapons lab, the first of its kind, on Magazine Street in an apartment. And guess who the three people there are running it? A young girl who won a science project when she was in Florida. She actually is from Florida. Her name's Judith Very Baker. She was very interested in Sarah Stewart's work. And when she won this thing, Ochsner pulled her and said, you're going to be the lab technician. She was promised a medical school education and a residency if she worked under Mary Sherman. Who else is in this motley crew? David Ferry. We'll talk about him in a bit. Who's the other person? Lee Harvey Oswald. So guess what Lee Harvey Oswald, Judith Ferry Baker, and David Ferry are doing? They are running the bioweapons lab.
What year again?
This is 1962, 63, right before they kill Kennedy. So what's happening? Because remember, Ochsner, how did he make all his money? So how did he get tied up in this whole thing? So you understand. When I was a resident, he had this nice community hospital. It wasn't huge, but it's nice. Now it's a massive place. But out in front of it, he had all the flags for all the dictators that ran Central and South America. He used to take care of all of them. They were all right-wing dictators. Mm-hmm. He was a right-wing politician. That's the reason the people at Tulane University threw him out of being the dean and the head of surgery at Tulane. Mm-hmm. So what did he do? Instead of getting pissed off, he said, fuck it, I'm just going to go open my own hospital to compete against you. So that's what he does. So how does he make it successful? He starts working with right-wing politics. All these people come, and he becomes enriched by this. The military is obviously very interested in this because they're the people that overthrow these governments down there. That's why he was an FBI asset.
Wow.
But when this shit hits with SV-40, the CIA says to him, you need to fix this.
And so what do you mean by fix it?
Meaning, the government knows that they just started the war on cancer. Like, they gave the world cancer at record rates overnight.
Did they know this was going to happen?
Absolutely, because guess who told them? Sarah Stewart.
Okay.
She was the world expert that worked for the government. And when she heard what they did, She said, you need to hire Mary Sherman. You need to put both of us on this project, and we need to do this in clandestine fashion. In fact, the day that David Ferry gets killed, Sarah Stewart's lab book was found by Jim Garrison. This is a very interesting story, my friend. Now you can start to see why this is all really intertwined.
So what did they mean when they said you need to fix the SV40 problem?
Meaning there has to be something that you can get that out of the genetic code.
Okay.
So what do they do? The CIA goes straight to the delegation in the United States Senate that controlled money at that time. Do you know who all of them were? All the people in Louisiana. How do you like that? This is Huey P. Long's son, who's a state senator. Hale Boggs. Remember, he was on the Warren Commission?
Yep.
Hale Boggs is the head of the Appropriations Committee. So magically, Ochsner gets a Linac delivered to the U.S. Public Health Hospital that's across the street from Children's Hospital on Henry Clay Boulevard. And it's standing up in a building that is only three stories from the street, but it goes three stories down in the ground. And this thing is standing up like you would see a nuclear weapon, like in the Planet of the Apes, the first version.
Yeah.
There's six targets that are pointing at the Linac, okay? They start using small little mammals with the poliovirus injected, and they start zapping it with all different levels of radiation to see if they can eradicate it. Mm-hmm. This should not sound crazy to you, because that's exactly what oncologists do today, right? To tumors?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But guess where the problem lies? What did the oncologist, what did Sarah Stewart and Mary Stewart and the Motley crew find? The more they irradiate it, the more lethal the SV40 became. In other words, it caused unbelievable cancer, and it happened like that. So these tests kept going on, going on, going on, going on. And then what happens? 1959, Castro comes in. And you know that the FBI and the CIA, all that stuff that you've already talked with Ian Carroll about, and, well, who's the other guy? Martyr Maid, you know, the...
Yeah, I haven't talked to him.
All right. But that dude, he's the academic historian, and the other guy is like, I would call the conspiracy theorist.
Ian?
Right,
yeah.
Ian?
Yeah.
But he's not really a conspiracy theorist. A lot of what he believes is right, but this whole thing, nobody knows about what I'm telling you right now. And how these things link, because, you know, I even said to Bobby in the Tetragrammaton podcast, I said, what's the difference between fact and fiction? Fiction has to make sense. The story that I'm telling you right now, because I can see in your face, you're like, dude, this is the craziest story ever.
I've never heard any of this stuff before.
No, you won't, because I told you, do you think the YouTube stuff that you're going through now is bad? Do you think what, you know, the World Economic Forum and what Fauci's done is bad? Bro, you have no fucking idea. And that's the reason I'm telling you, I was wise to this when COVID came. Because I know this story. I lived it. It was in the beginning of my residency. And I asked questions. That's all I did. I want to know why we had a Linac. I want to know why, what's going on in this polio story. And then I said, I want to know why the primate lab was moved from LSU and Tulane, and now it's sitting across the lake in Covington, Louisiana. Well, I got the answer through this story. Now I know the reason why. So what happens is Mary Sherman is radiating the fuck out of these mice. They would bring the mice to Judith Ferry Baker, who would homogenize it with Ferry and Lee Harvey Oswald. Lee Harvey Oswald was just the runner going back and forth. And they had to have a front for him and Judith Ferry Baker. What was the front? They worked on the coffee factory on Canal Boulevard.
Mm.
So just so you know, did I do my homework on this? I had Judith Ferry Baker at my house on July 4th, 2020, with the freaking receipts of them two working together. It's published in her book, but I didn't believe her.
Oswald?
They were working together, and he was an asset in this program. Why? Because he was going to be the one to deliver this bioweapon in a cigar to Castro. That's the reason he went to Russia. So who's David Ferry in all this thing? David Ferry is a disgraced Eastern Airline pilot who was involved with the mafia training the people for the Bay of Pigs. He was here in Florida, and he was in Lake Pontchartrain. There's pictures of David Ferry and Oswald in Lake Pontchartrain everywhere in New Orleans. But you guys don't know about it. Because it was buried by guess who? The Warren Commission, mm-hmm. the FBI,
right.
the people that didn't want this story out. The only person that's still alive from this whole story is Judith Ferry Baker. She's like in her 80s.
Wow.
But she's written a book about it. And I can tell you that there was parts of the book that I knew about it. There was things that I knew that I knew she didn't know. And there was something, this is really important. There was something that I knew Bobby Kennedy, if I told him, he would know that I wasn't full of shit. And that's kind of why I did the podcast with Rick Rubin and him. And when I told him, his eyeballs told me all I needed to know. So when this project starts, they find out that this thing can't be fixed. In fact, they just made the most
SP-40.
Right. They just made the most lethal bioweapon on the planet. So what does the industrial military complex do? What anybody does now with, you know, bad things, let's take it as an opportunity. So they develop it. And that's where they come with the idea to take Castro out. Because at that time, the deal was, we're either going to take Castro out or we're going to take JFK out. Why was the JFK thing a big deal? JFK not giving air cover to the industrial military complex for the Bay of Pigs right. really was a huge big deal.
Yep.
And there was a lot of people like David Ferry. If you read the book about him, dude, he hated Kennedy because all those guys, all those Cuban exiles that he was training with Oswald, they were all captured or killed. So, and he was actually a pilot in the Bay of Pigs invasion in 62.
I interviewed one of them not too long ago.
There you go.
Felix Rodriguez.
So what happens is that Oswald never wanted to kill Kennedy. He knew that what the situation was. If they didn't get Castro, they were going to have to do Kennedy, which goes to the beginning of this podcast. Do you know the reason why Castro always stayed a step ahead of the CIA and FBI? Trafficante was a double agent. And guess how? So this is where the story of the mob that very few people have put together. At that time, I just told you that the casinos go boom.
Yes.
So they lost a lot of their money.
Right.
Mo Dalitz is kicking ass and taking names in Vegas. So the Chicago bosses, I'm still blanking on his name. Sam, it begins with a C. His nickname used to be Momo. That'll show you. You may
find it. Yes, to find him, Steve. Sam Momo, Chicago.
Yeah. Well, he's friends with Carlos Marsalo. Marsalo controls both Florida and New Orleans. Trafficante starts doing deals with Castro. They started running all the drugs through
Giancana.
There you go. Sam Giancana. I just couldn't remember the name. And he starts running drugs through Florida. And guess what? The Italian mob finds out that this is more profitable than casinos. So the reason why this goes down is he cuts a deal with Castro that I'll feed you any information I get about you, but you keep letting us run the drugs through New Orleans and Florida. So that's where the mob gets involved with drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody in the CIA, FBI knows really why this is going on. So Castro was never able to be killed. I think the CIA is on record saying they tried to kill him 7, 8, 9 times.
Right.
They were always unsuccessful because of the link I just told you. So what happens next? They go, and this is the best part of the story. This is the part of the story that really exonerates Lee Harvey Oswald, but the industrial military complex will never allow you to know it. They have to test the weapon. Ochsner knows that he has to test the weapon, so he goes to Angola prison, the same prison Johnny Cash is famous for going to singing. They find a guy on death row. They tell him they're going to inject him with something, but they tell him you're going to die anyway, whether it be by the gas chamber or electrocution or here, but we'll give your family money. The guy actually agrees to do it. They transfer him to Angola to a small little prison in Clinton, Louisiana. And you'll know why I know all this stuff. And who drives up the bioweapon? They don't let Judith Ferry Baker do it. They actually give it David Ferry, Lee Harvey Oswald, and Clay Shaw, are in the car. Do you want to know why they put Clay Shaw on trial? Because he was seen in Clinton, Louisiana, which at the time in 1963 was a very black town. These are three white guys in a black Cadillac. This is the same day that Martin Luther King gives his I Have a Dream speech. And why is this a big deal in Clinton? Because they're registering black people to vote. And guess who registers to vote that day in Clinton, Louisiana? Lee Harvey Oswald. You'll be able to find it. So guess what happens? This is how Garrison knew that Clay Shaw was going there. He didn't know what he was going to do, but he had an idea. So they go up to the prison. They inject the prisoner. He's dead within 10 days of cancer. So they get a positive on that. Guess what happens? Judith Vary Baker finds out what they did through Oswald, and she goes fucking ballistic. She goes back and tells Ochsner. Ochsner threatens her, says, you're no longer going to medical school.
Who's Ochsner again?
Ochsner's the guy, the doctor that started this whole process.
Okay.
The polio guy, the guy Ochsner that injected his kids.
Oh, yes, his grandkids.
So he gets furious. She runs back to Florida. What magically happens next? Oswald tries the attempt to go to Cuba to deliver the cigar. He's unsuccessful. Literally.
Is this when he went to
Mexico
City and tried to get to Cuba?
Cuba, correct.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
That's exactly right, bro. You're putting the dots together. I figured that you would once you hear all this. But here's the funny part of the story. When he fails, he tells Judith Vary Baker on the phone, which you can read about in her book. He says, they're going to kill Kennedy and I'm going to be the patsy. So the first attempt on JFK's life, believe it or not, is actually in Chicago. Guess who foils it? Lee Harvey Oswald with a phone call to the cops. Tips them off and they can't kill him.
They try to kill him here in Tampa too.
Right. But this is a month before they kill him in Dallas.
Yes.
So in Dallas, what happens then, you know, the famous meeting between H.L. Hunt, Clint Murchison, Nixon, the Bush family, everybody's in this hotel, in the Marriott Hotel. That story gets told by LBJ's, you know, piece of ass on the side.
Mm-hmm.
That got told. I think that got told in like 2008, 2009. I actually knew about that because that was some of the juice that was dripped out to me in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason it was important in New Orleans politics is because Lady Bird Johnson, again, this is how I fact-checked it to know it wasn't bullshit. Clint Murchison, who was the first owner of the Dallas Cowboys, is an oil man. Him and Lady Bird Johnson bought all the real estate from Dallas to New Orleans because I-10 was built in the 50s when Nixon was the vice president. So Nixon told them where the road was going to go, and that's how they got tons of money. So when I fact-checked that, I was like, okay, this now is definitely plausible how all these people are tied together. Then the final thing that I did, after my residency's over, the U.S. Public Health Hospital gets decommissioned. And I knew that when all this shit was going on with COVID, I said, I need to go back down there and check the public health hospital out. I was fortunate because the same janitor that was there when I was a resident at Henry Clay Boulevard, he knew who I was. And I said, I see they're renovating the building. I said, do you think I can get in there? He goes, dude, nobody's used that in years. He goes, you know, it's kind of empty. And I said, you remember the machine that was in there? I said, do you know where it went? He goes, no, no one ever told us this and that. Well, the same machine is in the basement of Ochsner. That's what happened. And it was retooled by a technician so that it would lay down so we could use it for cancer patients.
Wow.
So how did I know the weapon was there? Two things. The first way I walked in, I found out there was three stories below the ground that you can never see.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that always was very unusual about this hospital, it has a huge wall. The wall's about 15 feet tall, like you would see around a base. And it didn't make any sense to me. It had these big, huge metal doors because they didn't want anybody in there. But the most remarkable thing about this, when I got to the basement, when I saw the six concrete stanchions that were there, massive grounding plates. The grounding plate, the wall behind you from where that exit sign is to that corner was that big and probably 5 feet taller. And there's two of these in there with massive electric power lines going in there. I knew what it was right away. It was the grounding metal for the LINAC, because you have something that make 30 million volts. So you have to have something get rid of it.
Yeah.
So then it dawned on me, wait a minute. I know another way that I can prove that this shit was going on back in the 50s and 60s. I went to Entergy. Entergy is the electric power company in New Orleans. They have nuclear power plants, this and that. So I walked in there and I said, can I see the bills for the U.S. Public Health Hospital, you know, for these times? They're all covered by redaction and government stuff. So I knew right away that I was right at ground zero when this happens. Now, just when you think the story's over, 6 months after JFK gets killed, David Ferry gets killed. Okay?
Wow.
Jim Garrison.
How did he die?
No one knows. So this is how I got Bobby entangled into this. I'm talking about RFK Jr. So I would have no way of knowing this, okay, what I'm about to tell you. It's very public that Jim Garrison was at the crime scene because he was the DA in New Orleans. Ferry is found dead. He kept telling everybody in the French Quarter that he was going to die when JFK got killed. Why? Because he knew. He told everybody they had to kill Lee Harvey Oswald because Marcello was linked to him. He was a key. Ruby was the guy to do it. Then they took Ruby out as well. So you could see everybody's dropping. So Judith was back in Florida. They couldn't find it. The only person who knew who she was Traficante. And everybody thought for sure Traficante would get her, but he never did. And what happens with Ferry, at his death scene, Bobby Kennedy Sr. calls on the phone. Jim Garrison calls Bobby Kennedy Sr. Because Kennedy Sr. and Garrison are talking. Why? Because Garrison knows that there's a conspiracy to kill JFK that began in New Orleans. And he knows that Lee Harvey Oswald's got nothing to do with it. He knows that Ochsner, Clay Shaw, he's putting pieces together. Okay, the CIA, the FBI, they're bugging his office. So they knew he was getting close. That's why they try to make him look like a clown show. But this is the key point. When Garrison calls Bobby Kennedy Sr. to tell him about what he found, guess who answers the phone? Bobby Kennedy Jr. Guess who knew that? Me. And I told Bobby that in the Tetragrammaton podcast. I'd have no way of knowing that. So that's how he knew that I wasn't a tinfoil cat guy. I put this whole thing together. And I knew, I knew about this from the beginning of my residency. And that's part of the reason that I went to talk to Becker, because I knew his part of the story was tied to this part of the story. And this is before COVID, but it's also now explains to you why I didn't trust anybody. During COVID, when I saw there was two legal definitions, I knew that Pfizer was going to use the SV40 promoter, but I had no way to prove it, my friend. None. Because, you know, I'm not a molecular biologist anymore. I can't do those things. I'm not doing research. I'm in clinical practice. Mm-hmm. But I knew. I knew what these motherfuckers were capable of. And when I saw that, I was like, okay. Then the 2020 version of Bernice Eddy comes to the scene. This is a guy you really should interview on your podcast. His name is Kevin McKiernan. You know anything about him?
Kevin McKiernan?
Yes.
No, I never heard of him.
You need to write his name down, because this guy, to me, is an absolute patriot and hero. So, Kevin, you need to know a little about his backstory, because guess what? It ties to the Google boys and it ties to DARPA. Remember Craig Venter? Human Genome Project?
Yes.
Clinton administration?
Yep.
Told everybody humans are going to have 100,000 genes. Chimps and monkeys will have 25,000 because we're so better than them. that blows up in his face. He's a transhumanist, just like the guys at Google, just like Wojcicki, just like everybody in Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
So
the transhumanist thing is bizarre.
No, it's not. It actually makes total sense, dude. These are all people who have been through the marshmallow experiment, bro. They're all been zapped by the industrial military complex. We ain't done yet. Take a drink of your liquid death there.
I need that. I need one of these.
So
the transhumanist thing, I always thought it was a scam.
No. Oh, no. It's actually evidence. It's evidence of MKUltra 2.0, 3.0, 4.0. But guess what MKUltra is called today? Do you know? Any of your conspiracy boys ever
talk? I have no clue.
Brain Health Initiative, set forth in 2013 by President Obama. Do you know where it's based? In Central and South America. Isn't that funny that it's in the same places where you can't find it? And do you know where it's hidden in? Places called Centers of Excellence. How do you know that I'm right? Do you remember the story I told you about Sidney Gottlieb before? In MKUltra 1.0, when he took LSD and dripped it down on St. Louis? Do you know who sponsored that experiment? Washington University and the U.S. Navy. That's also discoverable. Do you know where Washington University is?
Washington?
St. Louis. It's a major medical school in St. Louis. They were part of it. Do you know who sponsored the Brain Health Initiative? Washington University and the U.S. Navy. How do you like that?
Did you put this together by yourself?
Yep. Bro.
No one else is talking about this?
Uh-uh. Just so you understand why. What do doctors do? Especially good doctors, they're diagnosticians. They take a mystery and a patient to try to figure out what's going on. This mystery, I've been picking up clues and breadcrumbs for 30 years of my medical training. And I don't fucking forget anything, bro. You see, I'm doing this all from my memory right here. Do I have any notes in front of me?
No.
And I'm the only thing I blanked on was the dude's name from Chicago.
Right.
So this story isn't finished yet. So the Brain Health Initiative comes in. This stuff is being done in places right now. Many of the things that you're seeing in the transhumanist movement is actually being done. So now you may start to understand why we have an open border. All the people that have been through these training programs in Central and South America are being let into the United States, and they're being deployed in very specific cities. So you want to know why Springfield, Ohio has who they have there? Do you want to know the reason why people are being brought into Alabama? There's a reason, my friend. Do you understand the game that's going on?
Why are they specifically bringing people into Springfield, Ohio, and Aurora, Colorado, and all this stuff? Like, what's the significance of those places?
What would a transhumanist do? Does a transhumanist really have any care about the people that are here, or do they want their people that are easily controllable in? Like, did Sujin Wojcicki?
Wait. Does she care? My definition. I thought the transhumanists were just like were people who were going to get their brains frozen after they died.
No, they're more than that, my friend. They're the same people like Bill Gates' dad. They're eugenists. They want to trim everybody. They're not interested. Like, if you sat down and talked to Nicole, she will tell you stories. But the reason I'm paying attention to this is you need to realize I pay attention to all of the families of the big Silicon Valley people. Why? Because they are all tied to MKUltra 4.0, 5.0. Every single one of them. And there's a reason they follow the rules of the industrial military complex. Because they're designed to do that. Okay? And guess what? They get that training at the universities that they went. Stanford, Harvard. Just remember where all these people come from, my friend. Name any of them.
Is this why you moved out of the country?
Pretty much. And look, I've been saving this for 30 years. And I believe we're in the ninth inning. that if November 5th goes the wrong way, that we're Venezuela. We are where Venezuela was in 2005, 2006, and Chavez comes in and they take our guns. Kamala's already said she wants the guns. My problem...
She changed it in the debate.
Bro, she's still fucking full of shit. You know it.
Yeah.
But here's my problem. 55% of the United States population has been MK-Ultra'd through the screen technology. So they're all obedient idiots. Mm. So here's my position. This goes very proximal to what Ayn Rand wrote in Atlas Shrugged. If we ever get to a point where it's mob rules, which is exactly why the Democrats always say democracy and not constitutional republic, bro, this is the problem. And I believe we're here. And, you know, you and I are in Florida right now. I haven't told you this. I have to come back one more time to vote. And I vote in Florida.
Oh, do you vote here?
Yes, I do. Because I have a clinic in Destin. And when I talk to Bobby about this, he goes, look, I need you to vote for me, even in that state. He's changed his tune after he joined forces with Trump. Really? Now he wants me to vote for Trump. And I reiterated that literally 2 days ago with Nicole. I asked Nicole straight. She goes, nope, we want you to vote for Trump. My nurse, who you spoke with, Chantal, Nicole told her the same thing. We want you to vote for Trump. And
not for Bobby.
No, because now...
Well, he dropped out, so...
Well, but the thing is, there was a talk that he needed to get to 5% to get the third party. But now he realizes, I think, how serious the situation is. So the podcast that I told you to listen to before I came on with you is the Alexis Jasmine podcast.
Yes.
I made a prediction in there before it happened. I said, they're going to come and get Trump again. And guess what? The day that we did the live X event with Nicole,
they found the guy at the golf course.
Right. That happened right then and there. And I'm telling you right now, they're not done.
No.
I expect at least 2 to 3 more times, because guess what? The only way to ensure the next step of the plan, because what is the real story of COVID? COVID is not what any of you think. COVID was a compliance test for a coming economic reset. So remember I told you earlier that the industrial military complex, its energy, the source is cheap money. Cheap money is how they fuel all of these things. So parts of the story that we glanced over that I'm going to tell you that I actually told Dr. Alexis, these parts are really going to infuriate you. So I told you how we got the money laundering thing through drugs and how it started with Castro and Traficante. What if I tell you that the war on drugs part two started with the Iran-Contra affair with Ronald Reagan and Oliver North? The story that you've believed as a young boy was that it was about running guns to Nicaragua. What if I told you it wasn't that at all? It was to make sure that the industrial military complex captured the pathway between the Colombian drug cartel and the Mexican cartel so that they could deliver opiates right into the United States.
Fund black ops.
Right. And that's exactly what Iran-Contra was all about. It's another pile of money. Okay. So
are you familiar with Danny Sheehan?
No.
Harvard lawyer who worked on the Iran-Contra case, the Pentagon Papers case, the Watergate case, all these cases. He came in here and basically elucidated all this stuff beautifully. But he's the one who's how I got my education in this.
All right. Well, perfect. Then I don't have to go through it again.
No. I don't mean to interrupt, but I just
wanted to. I just want you to understand what the goal was. Mm-hmm. It was to create a pile of money. So what has the government done? First, Social Security they stole. Okay. Then you have Iran-Contra. You know when that one goes down. That's another pile of money that they start the war on drugs. The government is fueling this because they need the money to run black ops.
Right.
Here's the big one. Who gets hired in 1982, my friend, and at the same time? Anthony Fauci.
Okay.
By Reagan. What else happens right then and there at that time? You might remember somebody in the industrial military complex came up with the idea, how about we have Americans donate and to their own retirement called the Roth or SEP IRA. So we can create this huge pile of money that the Treasury and the Fed will watch, which has never been audited to this day. So what did they do? They came up with another plan through Congress so that now Americans put all their retirement money in, so they're able to launder that money too. So now let's do a hard stop, because I haven't talked to you about this at all. I don't know if you're a Bitcoin or not, but maybe you can understand now why.
I don't pay like a close attention to it, but I understand I own some.
You will after what I'm about to tell you. You're going to change that in a lickety-split minute. So all this money is sitting in there. No one's able to audit it. So fast forward, I don't know, 20 years ago, you heard about a guy named Bernie Madoff, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know about what he did.
Mm-hmm.
How did he get outed? The owner of the New York Mets at the time, Nelson Doubleday, put some of his money in there, and he asked for it back when he was going through financial hardship, and that's what took Bernie Madoff down. Bernie gets thrown into jail, but guess what also happens? The government realizes as soon as Madoff goes down, if anybody starts asking for money back, they're going to have a problem. So how old are you?
I just turned 37.
Beautiful. So I want you to think about your mom and dad. They're boomers like me. Who is going to be all these people that opened up Roth IRAs starting to retire right about now? What happens when you taper a Ponzi scheme and people start taking their money out?
Collapses.
Have you ever looked at the rules for a Roth? Oh, you don't have to take it all out all at once. Just take a little bit out of time. We'll let you go all the way to 70. So go look at the years the boomers were built. The last year is 64. So you're saying
the boomers are
taking... Hold on. Okay. Let me finish.
Okay.
I'm developing this idea for you. So in Bitcoin, we have guys like Max Keiser. We have the big Bitcoiners. They always say, Lawrence Lepard, you cannot taper a Ponzi scheme. Why? Because when people want their money back, it causes the house of cards to collapse.
Yes.
What if I told you that the industrial military complex figured out how to taper a Ponzi scheme with a shot? You're slowly going to take people out who complied. So you don't have to pay them back, bro. And guess what? Why does it make sense? What do you know about U.S. tax law? When people die that have a lot of money in a Roth or an IRA, don't they have to pay estate tax 55%? So who's getting the gravy? The government's getting that money back, bro. So guess what? Do you understand now why we started this podcast with Susan and the turbo cancer? And yet I took you back 50 years and showed it to you and Jack Rubenstein. And what's happening now that Kevin McKiernan has proven? Kevin McKiernan does the test, takes unopened expired vials and fucking tests and finds SV40 in a jab 50 years after the polio massacre. Do you understand, bro, what's really going on? Because let me tell you something. I'm teaching you right now about the Dunning-Kruger effect. When what you don't know turns out to be the most important part of the story, everything you thought you knew goes. So, my friend, that's the real reason why I went to Dallas 2 days ago and spoke at Dealey Plaza and laid this whole story out on tape and told everything I know in every detail, because if I happen to get taken out by acute lead toxicity, I want a young guy like you who's doing this podcast to make sure you go fucking fact check Uncle Jack. But I promise you, I'm not going to let you down. Every single one of you out there needs to know what I'm talking about. These are the biggest fucking criminals in the world. They make Adolf Hitler look like a street gangster. They've killed way more than 4 million people. And they're not done. They're looking to completely take out millions of people slowly over time, all different kinds of ways. So don't think it's over. What did Fauci and the Bayh-Dole Act and the vaccine law really do? Gave them the most impressive bioweapon ever. And no one in the legal profession can sue them because they have immunity.
Right.
Got it?
Right, yeah.
Understand where we're going now, bro?
Oh, yeah.
Feeling it?
I don't want to believe it. It's fucking terrifying.
Well, guess what? That's
I want you to be wrong.
But guess what? This is a guy that does podcasts that talk about conspiracies, and all of a sudden, when you start to realize that all the conspiracies that you've done your homework with other guests, but when the dude comes in here and puts it all together, and you sit there and you go, what did I say to you in this podcast? Like, he needs to make a clip of this. What's the difference between fact and fiction? Fiction has to make sense. There ain't nothing about this that makes sense. But guess what?
That's totally right. You're totally right about that.
Every single thing that I told you, you can now fact check. Do you think that was true when this started out for me in 88, 89, 90, 91, 92? Nope. When did I know I was right?
Right.
Dude, this program ain't going away. And I've already told you where they're being tested now. Remember the black guy that was on death row in Clinton, Louisiana? Now it's all people with brown skin that are in Central and South America. That's what the Brain Health Initiative is all about. See, that's the execution part of the plan. And then they're creating a military to bring them up to the United States now. So you're having all these crazy bastards that have been programmed now led into the United States and made citizens. Guess why? Not only the replacement for you, which a lot of the black folks are starting to wake up to, but they're going to be controllable replacements. This plan has been in since Tavistock in 1921.
That doesn't make sense.
Oh, yes, it does.
Why would you want, if you're a country, why would you want to do that to your population? The biggest thing
because
is that
our constitution for tyranny, treason, death. If you know about this, and that constitution is in law, what is the goal of the industrial military complex? You want me to distill this down for you so it lands? They want to replace the U.S. Constitution with the U.N. Charter. That's what they want to do.
Right.
Because then they have free reign. They then control the executive and Congress. But what branch don't they control? You know why they went back into the plan to kill Trump? Because he put two guys that are Fourth Amendment experts on the Supreme Court. Do you know why you can't get a CBDC through now? Because the fucking Fourth Amendment blocks it. That's the real reason, bro. That's why they hate Trump. That's the number one. It's about the only thing Trump did his first term that I'm happy about. Everything else, he basically is a fucking idiot that let all these people around him. I mean, just to explain this to you, how pissed off I am about this. He put Steve Mnuchin from Goldman Sachs as his treasury secretary.
Right.
Right then and there, yep. Told me you're a fucking moron.
Yep.
Because that's letting a barbarian in the gate. Then what does he do?
The CIA lady who burned up all the documents for.
Exactly. But think about Jeff Sessions. It took him 2 days to turn. Think about Comey.
Yeah.
Dude, every single person around him. So when you probably can tell I'm not really a Trump fan, but I told you I'm voting for him. Why? Mm-hmm. Because Bobby is now part of the team. Bobby knows, look, Trump wants to drain the swamp. You know what Bobby knows? He knows where the drain plug is. That's what we need. Because let me just tell you something. Everybody in the Joint Chiefs, everybody in the industrial military complex, everybody in Congress. There's people that are sitting in Congress right now that need to be for treason. Okay? They allowed this to happen. And we the people, let me just tell you something. When Thomas Jefferson and James Madison wrote in the Federalist Papers why the fucking Second Amendment is what the Second Amendment is, you got to remember, it wasn't for hunting. Wasn't for school things.
Mm-hmm.
It was to protect us from our government.
Exactly. Yes.
And guess what, bro? We're here.